Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you guys. Everybody over at Montrose, thanks for joining there as well. And excited to teach you a little bit this weekend from a parable or a lesson that Jesus gave. I think it's going to be impactful. Next weekend, we're going to start a new series. So we're going to kind of wrap one up this weekend. Next weekend, we're going to start our summer series. I'm excited about it. So we're calling it 90 Days with Jesus. And what we're doing, we're trying to think of a way that like we could kind of be on the same spiritual journey as a church family as we all go 1,000 different directions, right? So a junior high camp starts tomorrow, so the kids are going to scatter. There's vacations, there's all that kind of stuff. And so we're just trying to think of a way that we could journey together. So what we're going to do is next weekend you'll have a bookmark or something like that on your seat, and then of course this is all online, you can grab it. But I thought what we could do is we could read the Gospels together. So that's the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we're going to put that together as a reading plan, but you're going to start in Genesis. It'll make sense next week. But we're going to put together a reading plan, and then if you stay with it and kind of stay on pace with it when you're in and out of your life groups and Jesus spaces and connect groups and all that kind of stuff and back in services, you'll wind up kind of back in sync for wherever you stepped out of sync. And then we're going to do our teaching series out of that and just talk about Jesus all summer long. So I think that'll be a blast to do together. And you can take your Bible to the beach. If you're Heidi, you can go out to the sunshine. If you're Jeff, you'll hang back with the old people who were close to being in the Bible, actually, in the shade. And we'll do, yeah, where you sit, yeah. So like we'll do that together, and it'll be a good time. This weekend, though, I want to finish up our conversation about gaining by losing. We've been in it for the last few weeks. Pastor Joe, Pastor Josiah, and myself have kind of taught through that. It's a great conversation if you've missed it. You can go out at YouTube and all the platforms and kind of binge on it maybe while you're driving to the beach and catch up with it. But this has been the gist of it. We've been talking about these two different lives that we've been taught to live. One is kind of our North American life, not good, not bad, just is. And we've said that's kind of a gaining by gaining life. And what we've been taught over our whole life is that if you want to be happy and you want to be complete and you want to be fulfilled, you need to get more and do more and go more. And it's the whole motivation for the way that our structure of kind of culture works. It's why should you get good grades in school? So you can go to a great college. Why do you need a college degree? So you can get a great job. Why do you need a great job? So you can get the stuff that you want. Why'd you go to trade school? Because I learned that there's money in the trade. So why are you working all the overtime? Because I want to get the new truck, the new car. And it's this idea that we've had kind of drilled into us through our culture that I advance, I move forward, I get more, I have more, I do more. And there's a kind of a promise at the end of it that if you hit whatever level you put in your mind as the happiness mark, that you'll find that happiness there. And you'll find completeness, and you'll find fulfillment, and you'll find meaning and all the rest. And I think what we've seen in our culture is that lie has kind of been exposed. So we have more than we've ever had. We can do whatever we want. We can be whoever we want. And yet our happiness and our fulfillment is like through the floor. And it's said we're mostly defined by anxiety and depression and things like that. Well, why is that? Because it's a false path. It's a lie. Jesus puts in and he says, listen, there's a whole different way to do it. And it's a gaining by losing mindset, that the more I give my life away, the more I find meaning in my life. The more that I take things like my resources and invest them in the poor and invest them in the kingdom, I find more value in those resources and even more value in working to earn them. The more I do that with relationships, the more I do that with my time. And it's the emptying of yourself, what Jesus calls the losing of yourself, that actually causes you to find all that God created you to have and to live in that on the deepest, deepest of levels. So we've just been having that conversation, kind of breaking it down, peeling it apart, and trying to get our head around it. And this weekend, I want to wrap it up by talking about something that Jesus taught. And on the surface, if you read this on the surface, we tend to read it wrong. In fact, I would say that the parable he's going to tell is often grossly misapplied. And so we'll kind of just talk about what he actually meant by it. But on the surface, it's kind of, it's not that hard to get your head around, but if you let it in and understand what he's actually saying, it becomes very transforming in your life. And if you can get your head around it, it will change the way that you think about God. It will change the way you think about investing your life. It will change the way that you come to realize how God thinks about you. And in many ways, what it's gonna do is actually simplify what it means to follow Jesus. So it's like easier, but much more profound when you see what Jesus is actually digging at here, okay? So I just wanna walk you through this. This is all built on this idea. So here's the basic assumption that we're gonna kinda discover here is this. God's given each of his followers gifts. They're given freely, but are for a distinct purpose. He intends for them to be invested for that purpose. So if you're a Jesus follower, the Bible is very, very clear that God gives you all kinds of gifts. He gives you spiritual gifts. He gives you your time, your resources, your talents, your relationships, all these different kinds of gifts. And God entrusts you with those things. But he doesn't give you those things just to do whatever you want to do with those things. They're given to you for a very distinct purpose and a very distinct reason. And God expects or wants that his servants invest those things for those reasons. And when we invest them for those reasons, it's more of a gaining by losing life. It takes us to this abundant life that Jesus talks about in the book of John. That abundant life doesn't look like cars and health and wealth and your hair growing back. It looks like fullness and richness and meaning and purpose and eternal value. So God has given you what you need to like accomplish that. He gives those things freely. There's no strings attached. We're not earning them. He's not keeping points with them. But it's for a distinct purpose. And he intends for that purpose to be executed on. He wants it played out that way. And when we do that, we wind up aligned with the heart of God. We wind up living the life that God has called us to live, that gaining by losing life. And the end result is all those things that we're kind of hoping for and longing for in life, okay? So let me show you this. If you got a Bible, Matthew chapter 25 is where we're going. Matthew 25, or on your phone. And we're gonna kind of camp out there this weekend. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is telling a parable. And a parable is a story he would make up to illustrate a spiritual point. And so he's making up this parable to teach this point. And he says this, he's talking about the kingdom of God. And he says again, the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is everything that surrounds Jesus. So it's heaven, it's hell, it's salvation, it's the church, it's the Holy Spirit. It's living the Christian life. It's loving other people. If you just kind of throw all that in a bucket, it's the kingdom of God. It's who Jesus is and how he works. So he's explaining this. So again, the kingdom of God, how I work, can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted them with his money, entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Okay, now we're gonna press pause because we have to get our head around this a little bit. When we read this and we kind of read the preface of what Jesus is gonna teach here, we have to make sure that we're seeing this and hearing it the way that Jesus is saying it. Because when we read what's there, we'll tend to read that verse and we'll start to evaluate our relationship with Jesus through our cultural ideology. And when we look and say there was 5, there was 2, there was 1, divided it up in proportion, we will instinctually start to kick in. The guy with 5 was the big earner, the guy with 2 was maybe the young guy coming on, and the guy with 1 was the guy barely making a sales quota. Like, we'll immediately kind of start to process what Jesus is gonna say through that paradigm. And I just wanna talk about this for a second and then show you what Jesus actually meant. So in our culture, like when I make an observation about culture, I'm not saying it's good or bad, I'm just saying that it is, okay? It just is. So in our culture, not good, not bad, just is, we tend to define value in 2 main ways right now, in 2 main ways right now. So if I was gonna ask myself, so to say, do I have value? I'm gonna ask that through 2 sets of lenses. The first way that we tend to ask that question is through the lens of performance. So do I have value? Yes, I made varsity. Do I have value? Yeah, I got my raise. Do I have value? Yeah, everybody thinks I'm funny, right? So we'll tend to view it through the lens of performance. By the way, that's where capitalism is kind of camped at. If you perform, you get more, right? And it's good, bad, it just is. That's the basis of it. And we tend to think that way about ourselves. The other way that we tend to think value about our value right now is kind of the other end of the continuum. We would think about our value in terms of fairness. So I have value and I am so valuable that everything around me should be fair. And am I being treated fairly or not? And that is where, by the way, socialism is camped right now. So the socialism, capitalism conversation is the TikTok conversation right now, okay? How should we do that? And really there's conversations of value. Do I earn it or is it just inherently given to me and I should, you have too much, I'm gonna take it from you and we'll spread it out so that there's fairness for everyone. And we would look and say, you're devaluing me because I didn't perform, or you're valuing me because I did. You're devaluing me because I don't have as much as you, or you're valuing me because you made it fair. So those are kind of the two extremes that we would culturally process through the idea of value. Both of those ideas have major abuses in them. Both are rooted in a gaining by gaining mindset. The more I get, the more fair it is where I get my value. Both are rooted in a gaining by gaining mindset. Ready? And Jesus isn't talking about either one here in Matthew chapter 25. So when we read this, like he divided, he proportioned, there were different things. We're like, it's not fair, or that guy's a high performer. And what you're gonna see here in a minute is Jesus is like, I'm not talking about any of those things. So don't read that into this. Or you'll read this passage as like a business passage, or a fairness passage, or a way to like increase your net worth passage, and that would be an abuse of it. It's not what he's talking about at all, okay? So put that in your mind. You have to start to understand it a little bit, but you have to think of this or receive it through a gaining by losing mindset. You have to think of it the way that Jesus would think of it when he was laying out. So 5 bags of silver, 2 bags of silver, 1 bag of silver, the master goes on his trip. The servant, while the master was gone, the servant who received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money, earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work, earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master returned from his trip. He called them to give an account for how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more. Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver and I've earned 2 more. The master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. The master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew that I harvested crops I didn't plant, gather crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? And at least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they have been given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? And as we go through this, we're gonna learn a ton about what it means and what it looks like to live a gaining by losing life. Here's the first thing I want us to grab out of this because it's important, ready? Jesus is not weighing the performance of each servant, he's weighing the faithfulness of each servant. That's huge, that's huge. And you have to see it. The guy who had 5 bags and turned it into 10 got the exact same reaction as the guy who had 2 bags and turned it into 4. Jesus didn't look in his parable and say, this 10 silver bag guy, man, what a performer. Let's go ring the bell. Like he did it. He didn't elevate the return or the performance. What he did, he said to both of them, well done. Why? Because you were faithful. You were faithful with what you were given. Now let's celebrate. He said that to the guy that took 5 to 10 and the guy that took 2 to 4. and there's a faithfulness to it. And when Jesus looks at his servants, his followers, who he has entrusted things to, he doesn't look and say, who got the most, who did the best, who did the thing. He looks and says, who has been faithful in what they have been given? And how I decided, who I decided to entrust 5 to and 2 to, that's my business. But the servant who gets the return because they invested well, is the one who God calls faithful, and he is pleased with that faithfulness because they did a lot with the little that they've been given. Now, ready? This is huge. This is huge in your mindset when it comes to following God, because God doesn't appoint a varsity and a JV. He doesn't appoint a first chair and a third chair. Jesus gives each of his followers opportunities, gifts, abilities to be invested into his mission so that we can be a part of his kingdom. And we, because we have a gaining by gaining mindset, struggle with that. We struggle with that because we'll look and say, it looks like the people that can talk on the stage or the people who can sing or the people with the big personalities, they're making the impact for God. I'm just over here trying to care for my grandkids. I'm just staying at home with my children. I'm just trying to help my friend get off drugs. Who am I? And Jesus would be like, no, no, no. I'm as pleased with these guys as I am with you because of faithfulness. The outcome of that is really my business because I gave 5 to this one and I gave 2 to you. And what I want from my followers, what causes me to celebrate, is not who cashes out the big return, so to say. It's the one who is trustworthy and invests intentionally and wisely with what I have been, what I've given you. Ready? Your life was not meant to be merely lived, it's meant to be invested. And what God has given you, he didn't give you those things so that you could somehow survive till Jesus comes back or till you get hit by a bus and go to heaven. He wants you to invest your life. It's not a survival mindset for the follower of Jesus. It's an advancement mindset. And whatever God has entrusted you with, he would look at you and say, I want you to invest that into the purposes of the kingdom. I gave it to you freely. I want you to have it. I even want you to enjoy it. But I gave it to you for a distinct reason, and I want you to use it for that reason. God has given every one of his followers, I'm just gonna call it a bags of silver. There's certain things that he has put into your life that you are to take and invest for him and create a kingdom return with it. So what are those things? What are those things? I tried to think of the main ones. I came up with 5, they all start with R. That was real. You guys should applaud. That was not easy. I had to ask ChatGPT twice to help me come over those words, ready? So here's what have we invested? What's our bags of silver? The first one is this, resources. All of us have resources. All of us have money and all of us have possessions. And we all have resources. And the Bible is very clear. God says that the earth and everything in it belong to the Lord. So if you're a follower of Jesus especially, what you have is not yours. It is in your bag of silver that has been entrusted to you. Your income is not yours. Your possession is not yours. You are a keeper of that. And God would look and say, those resources should be invested for the kingdom of God and for the mission of God. The second thing that I just said was in our bag of silver was this. It's our relationships. It's our relationships. Listen, everybody is in your life because God placed them in your life. Everybody is in your life because God placed them in your life. You're in the family you're in. You're in the marriage you're in. You're in the friendships you're in. You work at the place that you work. Everybody that's in your life is there because God placed them in your life. And we need to think of our resource, of our relationships as a resource that we invest for the kingdom of God. That those people that God has put into our life, whether they're in our life for our whole life or they're in our life for 5 minutes, every human being with a soul that crosses your path ultimately is someone who God allowed to cross your path. I don't believe in coincidences and I don't believe in luck. I do believe in what's called the sovereignty of God. So every human being that's in my path, whether it's 5 minutes or for 5 decades, is in my path because God placed them in my path. And I need to see that as an investment that I've been entrusted with for a moment. The studies right now say that it's about 21 times from the first time somebody hears the gospel till they actually receive Jesus as their Savior. I have no idea what number I am on that scale. What I know is that when God put them in my path, I want to advance them closer to the heart of Christ. Everybody who's in your life is in your life because God placed them in your life. It's your bag of silver that God has entrusted you with. The next one is roles. And I just made it up this way. If you're familiar with the concept of spiritual gifts, everybody who's a follower of Jesus has been given a spiritual gift, at least one, sometimes more. It's your spiritual gifts, it's your calling, it's your responsibility. So the reason that you're the boss at work is not because you got the promotion, it's because God wants you to shine light to all those that you work for. The reason that you're on the football team is not because you love football, it's because Jesus loves the team that you're on, so he put you on it and gave you the abilities to perform that way. The reason that you are the employee, the reason that you're the teacher, the reason that you're the coach, the reason that you're the foreman, the reason that you're the neighbor, all these roles, and then these spiritual gifts that God has given you. If you are not utilizing your spiritual gifts, if you've buried your spiritual gift, the thing that God granted you specifically so that you can invest into the church and build the kingdom of God, if that lies dormant. So all of us have roles. We have platforms, we have positions, and we have giftedness by God. We also have rhythms that's in our bag of silver. Rhythms is your time. It's your time, it's your habits, it's your daily influence. Let me just side quest here for a minute. Listen, your time, are you ready? Your time does not belong to you. It belongs to God. The Bible says that God holds our very breath in his hands. It is God who decides when you are going to be born. And the Bible says it is God who decides when you're going to die. So God holds your very breath in your hand. That means that my little vapor, my little place on the earth is not mine to do whatever I want to. It is no accident that one of the biggest temptations we face today in our world is the waste of time. It's the doom scrolling. It's the binging on Netflix. It's the ridiculous amount of time spent on a hobby. None of those things are sinful until they cause us to waste what is not ours. See? And for every reel that I watch, there's a relationship I'm not investing in. For every hobby that I'm addicted to, there's a resource spent that is not yours to spend. So our rhythms are important. Our rhythms are important, and they belong to God. God has gifted you life, so he has gifted you time. And the last one I put down was our redemption story. All of us have a redemption story. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the story of why you decided to follow Jesus. You have your pain, you have your scars, you have your abuse, you have your joys to tell, your celebrations. All of us have that story. That story is not ours. That story was crafted in us, through us, by God himself. So God entrusts us with those things. That's our bag of silver. And God would look at us and say, I'm giving you this. I'm giving it, I'm proportioning according to your ability. You're a five bag of silver person. Take this and you invest heavily. You're two bag. Take it and you invest heavily. You get one and you take it and you invest heavily. And when you look at Jesus interact with those that he entrusted these things to, he looked at the guy that went from 5 to 10 and 2 to 4 and said, well done, good, faithful servant. You have invested faithfully. Let's celebrate. That's everything that I wanted from you. And then he looked at the one who did nothing with what the master gave him. Nothing with roles, nothing with relationships, nothing with resources, nothing with their redemption story. Nothing with it. Buried it. And he said, he didn't say you're ineffective. He didn't say, I don't know if you didn't make a good investment. He said, you're wicked and you're lazy because you took what was mine. You treated it like it was yours, and you put it away because you didn't want to hassle with it. So I want to look at this for a second, okay? And I want to compare and contrast a little bit the difference between a good and faithful servant and a wicked and lazy one. And I think it'll help us grab this gaining by losing mindset a little bit. What does this look like in real life. So here's some comparison, some contrast. Ready? The good and faithful servants, what do? They trusted their master's heart. The wicked and lazy servants, what do? They distrusted their master's heart. Ready? When you look at what happened, the good and faithful servant somehow knew. They knew their master. They knew his heart. And when they were entrusted with the five bags and the two bags, what they did was they went and they risked what they were entrusted with. And they knew that their master wanted and was okay with that risk. This is really important. When they invested it, they bought SpaceX. They bought, you know, whatever. They bought Insignia. They planted crops. Every investment is a risk. When you go to invest that relationship, you risk it. When you go to invest that role, you risk it. When you go to invest those resources, you risk it. But they understood that our master is more concerned about the building of the kingdom than he is about the loss of some silver. And he would want us to take this risk. So they trusted his heart, and they knew that if I make this investment, it doesn't work out. Maybe I don't double it. Maybe I just pull back a 60% return. They knew that the master would still be pleased because they knew that the master was not looking at the amount of coins. He was looking at the faithfulness of the one who invested it. They knew that was the win. The wicked and lazy servant distrusted the master's heart. When he was thinking about it, and he was held to account, it's fascinating what he did. The master says, you know, what'd you do with the money? The servant with the one bag came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting what you did not plant and gathering crops you did not cultivate. I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it. I want you to catch this. The wicked servant buried it. It wasn't ineffectual. It was wicked and lazy. Ready? And when he came and was held to an account, and the master was like, what did you do with the money? He said, I buried it. And the question would be like, why did you bury it? Ready? He blamed the master. He blamed the master. He's like, I buried it because you're harsh. You're harsh. The other two were like, he's not harsh. I mean, he holds you accountable. He's got standards, but he's not harsh. No. It's harsh. That's why I didn't do it. You're harsh. I buried it because you know what you are? You're greedy. You harvest what you didn't plant and you cultivate, you reap what you didn't cultivate. You're greedy. You got mixed motives. That's why. It's your fault, Master, that I didn't do anything with the bag of silver that you entrusted me with. It's your fault, God. You gave me a spiritual gift that I don't know that I like it. It's your fault that if you had given me more money, then I would give more money. If you would give me healthier relationships, I would risk one once in a while. If you give me the job I wanted, then maybe I would amplify my role. The one who buried it blamed. And it's fascinating to me that he blamed the master himself. And the master's reply is to that blame. That's why his reply is so strong. The master looks back at him and says, listen, here's the issue. The issue is not what I am or what I am not. The issue is, my clicker's not working, guys. You might have to click it for me. The issue is, thank you. The issue is that you are wicked and you are lazy. If you knew that I harvest crops I didn't gather and cultivate ones I didn't, then why didn't you at least put it in the bank? You didn't come back to me with a 10% return. You didn't do anything with what I gave you. And the issue is not me. The issue is what I didn't or did or didn't give you. The issue is that you are wicked and lazy and now you are blaming me for what didn't or didn't happen. It's a huge thing. These gifts, these resources and relationships and roles and rhythms and redemption story that's been given to you by God is not to be buried. And if it is buried, it is not God who did not empower, who did not trust, who did not give to you, God would look and say, it's you. It's you who did nothing spiritually, nothing for the kingdom, nothing to advance it. I gave you a gift for a distinct purpose and you did not use it for that purpose. The second thing, the comparison I want to make is this. It's this, between the good and the faithful and the wicked servant. Here it is. The good and faithful act in the value placed on them by the master. The good and faithful act by the value placed in them by the master. The wicked servant became trapped in their insecurity. I want to talk about this for a minute because I think it's huge. The wicked servant became trapped in their insecurity. Ready? The good and faithful servant learned the master's heart, and they understood that when the master entrusted them with their bags of silver, the master was defining their value for them. He was changing their identity. He wasn't just treating them like a servant who scrubbed the floors and washed the pots and pans. He started to treat them like a partner in the business. Just like I would take my money and invest it, the master says, I'm gonna look at you, I'm gonna elevate you to a different place, and I'm gonna entrust you to do the same thing. And so they grabbed a hold of that, and they realized that what the master did was not give them a difficult task. What the master did was give them significant identity. That I believe in you, I elevate you, and we're gonna partner together with the goal that this silver is supposed to accomplish. The wicked servant became trapped in their insecurity, and they would never get themselves to believe that, and so they acted in that insecurity. Ready? This is a big deal. Here it is. Ready? Each Jesus follower eventually has to accept that they're God's appointed person for God's appointed hour. Every Jesus follower has to accept that you are God's appointed person in God's appointed hour, that the reason your life is what it is and the reason that you live your life in the places that you live it is because God has appointed you there for this time. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world at work right now. You are the representation of Jesus on the airplane to the person you sit next to. You are the testimony of the love of God when you interact with a person who's in need. You are the voice of Jesus and the face of the gospel when you're on the golf course with your buddies. Wherever you are God's appointed person at God's appointed place. And when we receive that, when we start to realize that, that is not to bring about an arrogance, it's also not to bring about an insecurity. What it brings about is a humility within us because of what God has entrusted us with. Ready? There's a huge difference between humility and insecurity. Humility and insecurity. So humility is this. Humility is this idea. It's knowing my natural place and my supernatural elevation. That's humility. Knowing my natural place and my supernatural elevation. So it's knowing that left to myself, I could not redeem these relationships. Left to myself, I could not do that. I could not tell people about Christ. I could not love them in a relentless way. I could not forgive as I've been forgiven. I could not sacrifice the way that, left to myself, I cannot do that. I don't have what's within me to be responsible for these relationships by myself. Left to myself, I will not invest my time well. Left to myself, I wouldn't have any resources to invest in the kingdom. Left to myself, none of that's true. But I've been entrusted with these platforms and these opportunities. God has entrusted me with them. So in my natural place, I don't really have anything to offer. But in my supernatural elevation, God looked at me and said, hey, I don't want you scrubbing the floors. Let's invest the silver together. I don't want you just like hanging out, like let's do the work together. I don't want you watching things. Let's build the kingdom together. And God has elevated you and I as a follower of Jesus to join him, to be what the Bible calls co-heirs or co-laborers with Jesus. And when I accept that and buy into that, it helps me to see like the calling and the purpose of my life. So humility is not insecurity. They're not even related to each other. Humility is just me knowing where I would be by myself and accepting the supernatural elevation that God has brought into my life. Insecurity is a different animal altogether. Insecurity is a rejection of the work that Jesus has done in my life. Now, ready? I want you to catch this because it's getting touchy right now, right? So insecurity is a rejection of the work Jesus has done in my life, okay? That's why the one who buried it was not just ineffectual, he was wicked and lazy. it's not that he just didn't know what to do with the silver, because the master's like, you could have just put it in the bank. It's not that he didn't know what to do with the silver. It's that when he received that opportunity and those gifts, he looks and says, I don't know what the master's thinking. I don't know what the master's doing. I'm the last person that should have silver. Bury it. And he wasn't just ineffective in what he was doing. He was rejecting what God, in the illustration, was actually trying to do in his life. When I think of myself as too broken, too far gone, not talented enough, I committed the taboo sin. And I live my life like that. What I'm doing is I'm rejecting God's restoration. I'm rejecting the newness of my salvation. I'm rejecting who he says that I am. Jesus says something fascinating in John 15:16. He says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You didn't earn this, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. The servants didn't go to the master and say, can we have some money? He came to them. And the guy with five and the guy with two believed that. The guy with one was trapped. I'm just a servant. What in the world was he thinking in trusting me with any treasure at all? Ready? Here's a big statement that it'll change your life if you can accept it. Ready? Here it is. Struggling with insecurity is a result of our wounds. Being governed by insecurity is a result of our decisions. Some of you need to get a tattoo of that. Struggling with insecurity is a result of our wounds. We all have wounds. We all have childhood wounds. I got them. We all got them, right? We all have wounds. That creates insecurity within us. But being governed by those wounds is a decision. It's a decision that when we don't see the wonder of the value and the belief, so to say, that God has put into us to partner with him to do his work, we're rejecting what God says about us, and we're accepting the lie of our devaluation and our worthlessness. And many, many of us struggle with it. Many of us struggle with it. And when we're given platforms and we're given abilities and we're given roles and we're given rhythms and we're given relationships, one of the biggest things that keeps us from acting on that is the idea that I'm unworthy to do it. And when the servant buried their talents, when they buried their bag of silver, they were not just scared. They were not just, I don't know what to do. They weren't uneducated. They weren't uninformed. They were rebelling against the truth of God in their life. They were rejecting what the master was saying they were and who they are. Here's the last one. Ready? The last difference is this. The good and faithful deeply want to receive more from the master. The wicked and lazy want to escape the weight of responsibility. I find it absolutely fascinating what the reward was. So like the guy with five and the guy with two who doubled it, the master's like, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've invested well, you've invested well. And then the master said this, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small things. So here's your reward. So now I will give you more responsibility. Let's go celebrate together. What they earned for their work was not a bonus. What they earned for their work was the opportunity to do more work. This is where the math becomes super duper important in your life. Super duper important. Ready? The gaining by gaining mindset, the one we're all raised in, says this: the harder I work, my reward is I get to play. The harder I work, my reward is I get to play. I move up the ladder. One of the first things I negotiate is more vacation, right? I get to play more. We raise our kids. They're basically functional-ish adults. Like, we did it. The nest is empty. So now we get to check out. We get to go play. I work my whole life. I retire. Now I get to go to the beach and rot there. you'll die quick. That's my reward for it. When I'm younger, I just want to make enough money so I can travel. I just want to travel. And in our gaining by gaining mindset, one of the greatest rewards that we would think about in our culture is I get to do what I want, I get to be where I want to be, and I get to play. So when Jesus comes in with a gaining by losing mindset, it collides with that. It absolutely collides with it. Because what the master says is this: listen, you've done a great job raising your kids. You put them in the best environment you could. It's the kids' decision whether they follow Jesus or not. That's not the parents' decision. All the parents can do is keep them in the right environment, play the odds, give them around Christian. You did a great, great job. Your nest is empty. Maybe your kids are walking with Jesus, or they're semi-functional adults, which is a pretty big win. And this now your nest is empty. Good job. Good job. Good, faithful servant. You've been faithful. You know what you get to do now? You get to help younger people learn how to raise their kids. Well, I thought I got out of the nursery. I got out of Power Kids. No, now what's great is you got all kinds of time to go back in. I worked my whole life, and I worked my whole life. I moved up the ladder. I did great at work. I had a great career. I was a Jesus follower in the marketplace. I always use my platforms and my roles the best I can, and I get to retire, and now I get to check out. I get to go sit on the beach. And if I was God and you were sitting on the beach, I'd just be like, take that one out. Like he's chewing up space, right? You're not gonna make it long if you live that way. God would look at you and say, now that you've done all this, you know what you get to do? At Grace Church, there are thousands, literally thousands of young men and women who are trying to figure out how to live a Christ-like life in the marketplace. You get to pour your life into them. You older men, you get to disciple the younger men. You young, older women, you get to disciple the younger women. We're gonna Titus this whole thing. The more resources you have, the more you get to invest in the kingdom. The more free time you have. I'm in college, I have like a class and a part-time job and a lunch meeting at Chipotle. My week is just booked, right? And so the more free time you have, the more radically you get to serve Jesus. The more faithful you are, the more responsibility you're given, ready? And most of us resent that math. And the wicked, lazy servant resented it. He's like, I don't want it. You know how hard it is to invest? We'll walk to the bank. The bank, oh my gosh, I was gonna get coffee and then the new Mario Party's out. I don't know if I can get to the bank. I don't know, I'd dig a hole. Okay. And when God has given us so much and the reward is that you get more opportunity, okay, if you have a gaining by gaining mindset, you'll hate that reward. If you have a gaining by losing mindset, what you'll realize is that you're making bank in heaven. That you're laying up treasures, you're laying up crowns. Like the reward is awesome and unbelievable, but it's not immediately and right now. And the more I lay my life down and the more I give myself away and the more responsibility that I'm willing to take on spiritually, the greater pleased that God is, so to say. And he looks at my faithfulness and looks at my faithfulness, and I am laying up treasure, but in a different place. But the reward is this: some of you have 5 bags of silver that you're gonna turn into 10, and when you get to heaven, you're gonna be surrounded by people who look at you and say, thank you for your testimony, thank you for your giving. You supported me on the mission field. You reached me in the inner city. You were the guy that didn't cheat his integrity at work. You were the lady that showed me how to love a husband and be a family member and to be a boss and somehow balance all that stuff out. You were incredible. You're gonna be surrounded by that. Some of you have 2 bags of silver, and you're gonna be surrounded by that with less people with the same intensity. Some of you have 1, and you're gonna meet a person or 2, and all of you are gonna be rewarded and celebrated for it, because God measures faithfulness, not return. And you're gonna get to heaven, and you're gonna look at your Savior, and you're gonna be like, thank you so much for teaching me how to live. Because I would have just got rich and lazy and further away and sat on a beach or at the lake and rotted. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating when people pull away from investing in people Google depression rates in senior citizens. And they can do whatever they want. Google depression anxiety rates in college students who have free time. They can do whatever they want. Google depression rates of parents with young kids who have decided that they're trapped instead of gifted with an opportunity. They'll resent their children because they want their old life back, as opposed to embracing the responsibility that God has given them and seeing that as a faithful reward to that. It's fascinating. You get behind the numbers, and it's all this idea that I wanted my life to go a certain way. It's not panning out the way that I want, and I refuse to embrace the life that God has given me. And I buried the gifts and abilities he's given me because I want to do something else with it. And God would look at all of us and say, I got a better life for you. I got a better life for you, but it's not the one that you've heard about. That's not that one. It's not the one that you've been trained for in your culture. It's not that one. It's the one that I modeled, the one that I teach about, and you watch me lay my life down. Watch me lay my life down. And the Bible says, now Jesus is exalted, but his Father did that. And when we lay our life down, we're exalted. Our life, when it's given to Christ, there's reward. It's different than what we think, but it's richer than you can believe. And we kind of go down that path, right? When we get a gaining by losing mindset. All right. I'm going to ask the band to come out, and why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes. I'd just like to take a minute here and just be still and kind of quiet your mind a little bit. So I want you, if you haven't said hi to God yet, say hi to him and just acknowledge Jesus' presence in the room. We don't invite Jesus in the room. He's in the room. The Holy Spirit's in the room. We don't need them to come down or be invited, but sometimes we don't acknowledge that. So just personally, just acknowledge his presence. Just ask the Holy Spirit to open your mind and your heart. He wants to take God's word and press it down into you personally. So just ask him to do that, and like acknowledge that he will do that. And here's what I would just ask you. That bag of silver that you've been entrusted, where is it? Rhythms, roles, relationships. Where is it? Is it earning a return right now, or is it just buried? Buried with a pile of excuses on top of it. And maybe in these still moments, just do some work between you and the Holy Spirit. And allow him to convict, allow him to show, maybe encourage. He does all those things. But just give him some freedom there to give you a glimpse of reality. If you're not a Jesus follower yet, this alternate life that Jesus wants to show you is itself a gift. He invites you to live it, to go on that journey. And if you're looking for something meaningful and different and eternal and transformative, you're actually looking for salvation in Christ and the life he wants to build in you. If you've never received that or accepted it, then I encourage you to do that today. Jesus, in these moments, would you meet us? Would you change us? Would you wipe away our excuses? Would you minister to our insecurities, God? And would you let us see the opportunities that you have put before us and the rich return that you want to give us, the abundance that you want us to live in?